This is episode number 125 of Library of the Living Dead. You are welcome here. Welcome you to episode 125 of Library of the Living Dead. What we just done had was our theme song by Steve Kane called Zombie. And yes, we're going to play it on every future podcast. I just loves me, Zombie. Next up is a story by David Bannerman called Graveyard Shift. Then we're going to get Letters from the Dead. This one's by our good buddy and cookie eater, Zombie Zach. We got a new section. Zombie Farmers Zombie Game Review, in which April is going to tell us about, well, a zombie game. Get a song. A vintage song. Mama's Got a Zombie. And then we go into Brad Zeke's Zombie Series. This one's number 2. Get a Done in One by Blake MP, called The Worst Part. Get another song, another vintage, called Bub. We get the Manic Minute Movie Mutilation of Forest of the Dead. And then you get a surprise. Yes, sirree, Bob. You get yourself a surprise in episode 125 of Library of the Living Dead podcast. And it's, well, a surprise. Get a song, Big 10-Inch Machete. And then we get Stephen A. North's Undead in Las Vegas. There'll be a few out comments, and then we'll go out with the song, like we normally do. So, strap it on, open up that Corona, kill your lime and stuff it down its neck, because the doctor is in! Graveyard Shift by David Bannerman. Zack burst through the morgue doors, shedding his wet coat. He recognized the bass lines from My Girl, bleeding through the gray concrete walls of the morgue. That answered his first question of the evening. Who would be assisting him tonight? With the Temptations playing loud enough to wake the dead, Marvin would be assisting. The 12-hour shift would pass quickly and painlessly. The doors to the autopsy room hissed open at his approach, and music exploded through the cold air, bouncing off stainless steel surfaces. Marvin danced across the room, wheeling out their first victim of the evening. He stopped mid-spin. "My man! Pots and pans!" Marvin spun, pointed his remote at the Bose player, lowering the volume. "Dr. Zack, you better kick off them winter boots and put on your dancing slippers. We're celebrating tonight, so it's got to be all Temptations all the time." "And what, pray tell, Mr. Gay, are we celebrating tonight?" "March 6, 1965. My Girl was number one on the charts, and I lost my virginality." Marvin's gold tooth gleamed in the harsh lighting of the autopsy room. "You mean your virginity, and that's too much information." Zack dug in his pocket for his vibrating phone, checking the display. "It's the chief." Marvin paused the music. "Yes, chief. Yes, sir. I know the regs about parking in the handicap zone. Yes, but it's... Yes, sir. I understand. But... I'll move it right away, sir. Thank you." He slipped his phone back into his pocket, looking at the ceiling. "You backstabbing, brown-nosing bitch!" Marvin rolled his eyes. "You know Miss Amelia hates you. Why, you give her free ammo?" Zack shrugged. "I'll be back." "It's not my place, but you ain't fixing on doing something stupid now, are you?" "Yes, I am. I'm going out in this god-awful weather without a coat to move my car, so the Wicked Witch can start looking for some other character defect to pull the scab off. I'll get our first Mr. Doe on the table. You stay away from the second floor, you hear? We got some celebrating to do tonight." Still shivering, Zack returned from the employee parking lot. His attention was drawn to the sterilized instruments scattered across the floor of the autopsy room. "Marvin, what the hell happened?" Silence. "Marvin? Yoo-hoo! Marvin? What the hell? Where's the corpse?" He lifted the receiver from the wall, punching Amble's extension. "It's Zack. Something strange is going on down here." "What is this? Some kind of trick? Because I told the chief you couldn't follow a simple policy?" "I'm not kidding. I can't find Marvin, and the corpse is missing." "Problem solved. Marvin's outside my office." What's he doing? Zach heard glass breaking and a sharp intake of breath before the phone went dead.
Give me some ammo for my shotgun. I ain't got no time to last very long. Oh, the lonely days are here, I'll be staying at home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how many of those things I gotta kill. Oh, I just can't leave my home again. Oh, the lonely days are here, I'll be staying home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, said it was a letter from the dead. People, don't forget my words, my baby's undead. Anyway, give me some paper and a pencil. I've still got all those things to kill. Oh, the lonely days are here, I've been staying at home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. Said it was a letter from the dead. Listen to me, people. Don't forget these words, my baby's undead. Anyway, give me some ammo for my shotgun. I figure I'll kill myself in the long run. Oh, the lonely days are here, I've been staying at home. My baby done wrote me a letter. My baby 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 wrote me a letter. Wrote me a letter. My baby wrote me a letter. It was a letter from the dead. My baby wrote me a letter from the dead. My baby wrote me a letter. My baby wrote me a letter from the dead. From the dead.
This letter is from Zombie Zach. Ragged and rolling in. Actually, I don't know where this is, but it's where I am right now. I don't hear anything going on out there now. It's quiet. Way too quiet after that run to the door here. There's got to be something else going on. Just a quick peek. I'll take just a quick... Oh, shit! There's hundreds of them out there. Where the hell did they all come from? I swear to all, that's not quite safe to say in a journal, that there's no way they could have just shown up out of nowhere in a minute or two since I ran in here. Crap on a stick. There's got to be another exit from this rundown warehouse. Something. Some way out. One that's not that way. Because that way is certainly not going to work out healthy. I'll just have to go check around towards the other direction. I guess we'll call it the back, because the entrance certainly looked like the main lobby. Wait, why is it so dark in here? It's bloody full daylight outside. Flashlight? Dead. Lighter? Lost it a mile ago. Cell phone? Juice ran out days ago. Just have to wing it then. Okay, slowly walk forward. Put one foot forward quietly. No scuffing or knocking things over. Wait, what was that sound? Sounded like feet running. Damnation, which direction are they coming from? Gotta run. Gotta go. Gotta... What the hell in blue freaking blazes is that? Zombie Farmers Zombie Game Review.
Hey all, Zombie Farmer here again. I have a short zombie game review. So, I was thinking about this and I was like, I've played a lot of zombie games. What's another good one to talk about? And I was thinking, I was like, what a cute one. A cute one would be fun. I want a cute one. What's a cute one? And I don't know why I keep repeating myself. I think it's because I'm tired. Either way, I was thinking about the one that I kind of enjoyed for my Nintendo 3DS. The Nintendo 3DS is the handheld system. I actually think the technical name, sorry, is the new Nintendo 3DS XL. I know, they're so creative with the names. They came out with these really fun Street Pass games. So when you're playing with your system and you've got it on you when you're out in public, you'll walk by another person, whether you know it or not, that has one as well. And then you get to Street Pass, which means your me, which is the character avatar you've created for your system, and theirs will meet. And then you can play Street Pass games with their avatar in your game. So that's kind of fun. There's a fishing one. There's a cake one. I think there's a cake one. I don't know if I'm hallucinating that one now. There's a flower one, believe it or not. And a bunch of other ones. And one of the newer ones that they came out with was Battleground Z. So you don't get to play as your own avatar. You play as the avatars that join you. And each, depending upon the color of shirt they have a different kind of weapon. And you're actually fighting zombies. So it's actually quite adorable. It's encourages you to wander around your town, hopefully to collect as many people as you can to fight off the hordes of zombies. It's really fun for a while, and then it's the same button-crushing thing over and over again. So unless you love the same button-crushing moves over and over again, it doesn't have a long replay value, but I think it costs an entire whopping $4.99. And it's something you can definitely go back to after a while and enjoy later, or, yeah, I didn't. So, either way, like I said, short review, it was not even 3 minutes, and I repeated myself a lot. So, there you go. Zombie Farmer, out!
Mama's got a zombie, he lives in the back. And when daddy comes home, he's a one in attacks. Cause he's hungry as hell. Daddy sure tastes well. Mama's got a zombie, daddy will be under as well. Whoever kids don't eat and the dog can't sleep, there's no escape from the undead in the whole damn street. Cause she's eating all night, and her zombie's alright. Mama's got a zombie, daddy's gonna turn tonight. He goes in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out, 'cause he's eating all night, and his zombie's alright. Mama's got a zombie, daddy's gonna turn tonight. She goes, eat me, come on and eat me. Come on, eat me like you do. I'm so undead with you. Mama's got a zombie, daddy's gonna turn tonight. Goes in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out, 'cause he's eating all night, and her zombie's alright. Mama's got a zombie, daddy's gonna turn tonight.
The Zombie Series.
The Zombie Series.
By Brad Z.
Brad Z.
Brad Z.
Brad Z.
Brad Z.
The Zombie Series. Post 2. Hitting the Trail. Got up early and hit the trail this morning. Had a bit of rain roll through last night, so the temperature wasn't that bad today. Much better than going out when it's 90 and humid. It's been years since I went out on the Memorial Trail, and I had to say it was nice to be back there. Back in the day, it was known as the Crimson Trail, but things have changed since then. No longer is it dirt stained red with blood. Posted a picture on the blog so y'all could see what it looks like now. Pretty sure this is the only place inside the wall that is almost entirely enclosed by trees. Sure, there are trees scattered across the community, but nothing like here on the trail. Of course, if you come down here in the fall or winter, you'll see the fence about 50 foot on one side of the path and the wall not far from there. The tree line goes on for about 20 foot on the other side, and then it's all housing for the somewhat ever-increasing population that we have here, hence the annual, or sometimes semi-annual, zombie run. Listen, I know some of y'all might be listening to this in your areas and may have a different take on handling your excess population. I'm fine with how we do it here. Do I like that I got picked? Of course not. But I'll run either way because I believe in the system. Trust me, every time there is one of these, we have people out in the streets protesting, but it doesn't matter in the long run. They aren't changing anything. For those of you in the other zones who are listening to this and you aren't familiar with the way that we do it, let me lay it out to you. The run is simple. You run, you live. And you continue to contribute. If you don't make it through the run, well, you make room for someone who is useful, and those resources that you sucked up are available for the rest of the community. Although sometimes I don't see how I contribute by sitting in a cubicle all day, but there is a bigger picture to be looked at, and not everyone can see it. Sure, there is also the option of natural death. But if we didn't have the runs, then we would have far more mouths to feed, and you know what that means, less food. Less food means weaker people, then eventually starvation when resources run out. What happens when starving people die? They rise, and then we have the weak starving people trying to fight off everyone dying around them, and then we all die. See, it is simple. It isn't like we're the only community to have these runs. Each community has their own rules they follow to keep from being overpopulated. Unless you are in a place that has unlimited resources. And if you are, drop me a note because I really want to come for a visit. As far as this community goes, trust me, I would much rather do a run than be banished out there to live among our nearby undead residents. Hand-to-hand combat isn't something I would like to do every day as I did before. Well, I take that back. Sitting in the cubicle isn't right for me, so if there is a decent job position that goes along with hand-to-hand combat, I'm good for it. This run will do me some good anyhow. It'll help get me back into fighting shape, and maybe I can shed off some of the weight that I've gained since landing that office job. Of course, maybe I'll also lose some weight if a debtor takes a few bites out of me. Guess I better make sure I'm a faster runner than the guy behind me, huh? Okay, I'm feeling generous. If anyone out there from the other zones has a question, hit me up on the blog, and I'll get back to you. And that's it for now, people. And remember, just keep running. Hey, I'm Brad Zippers, the author and narrator of this fictional account of life some 20 years after the zombie uprising. It is based off running challenges that I do in real life. Lucky for you, the internet does somewhat work in the apocalypse, so you can read the posts and see the pictures mentioned in the series. Just head on over to thezombieseries.com to check that out. Feel free to drop a note there or become a survivor and join in the story by leaving your comments. Thanks for listening.
We have us a brand new done-in-one by good librarian Blake M.P. It's entitled The Worst Part. We begin now.
Something moves in the darkness, but that isn't the worst part. You have spent enough time in the shadows and shrubs to know that not every rustle, not every slow brushing sound is the lumbering dead. But even if it were, it wouldn't be the worst part. The sound grows louder, and you start to feel concerned. A quick rustle is nothing to get worked up about. When that sound sustains, when it grows closer, when the dull moans that have filled the world join the rustling, that's when you have to concern yourself. The moaning is a call, they think, an announcement that fresh flesh is nearby, filling their senses with rudimentary awareness of prey. On instinct, you try to retreat from the sound of the moans, even though you know it's pointless. Sitting in the dirt, you shove and kick with your bare feet, moving all of 18 inches before the iron ring around your ankle stops you. The chain, staking it to the ground tight. You kick, trying not to shout and confirm your position. But the ankle clamp and chain, rusty as they are, hold strong. Your prison is a 15-foot circle worn in the grass, the extent of the reach with the chain on your leg. And for anyone, anything, stepping into that circle, you will easily be overtaken. That isn't the worst part. As you've done so many times, you grab the chain and pull, tugging harder than you ever have, but your arms don't have the strength they once did, and the stake is set in the ground, solid as concrete. You struggle, and the chains rattle, and the moans grow louder. The trees finally part, and you see it, the slow, trembling figure that once had a human face, human smile, human mind. The flesh is clotted and gray now, and hangs from the skull in strips. Something ripped a huge chunk of skin and meat out of the thing's cheek, and the tattered strings of sinew still hang across the gaping hole, yellowing skull and teeth. Its mouth and chest are covered in dried brown blood, and both arms are outstretched, the torn skin dangling from the right like some sort of obscene banner. It reaches for you. This is the first of them. That isn't the worst part. The trees and bushes part again and again, finally spilling out four of the horrors, each of them slothing towards you, teeth gnashing, fingers grasping. They're so slow. It still astonishes you, even now, how slow they are. You could easily outrun all of them, but you cannot run. You could kill each of them, maybe all of them, but you have no weapon. You won't need one. They approach from the far side of the circle, and by the time they cross the stake that keeps you chained, you can feel the scream beginning to gurgle in your throat. You force it back, refusing to give it voice, even as the first creature steps across the halfway point of the chain. Its fingers flex and its teeth chatter, ready to begin consuming you. In its mouth, you see a dead tongue reaching out. In its head, dead eyes are rolled up in their sockets, betraying no emotion at all. The hands claw at your leg. You feel cold, moist fingers wrap around your ankle. This isn't the worst part. The air is ruptured by a blast, and the thing's head explodes into every direction. Its lifeless body falls across your legs, finally inert, and you see the living man behind it lower his rifle. The three remaining shufflers turn towards the sound and are greeted by the living man's friends, each with a weapon of their own. A baseball bat and a hatchet each resonate with a dull thud, and two more of the creatures fall, bathing you in tepid, congealed blood and half-rotten brain matter. The last creature moans, not comprehending, even as an axe embeds itself into its shoulder. A second chop, and the thing's head is completely separated from its body. It continues to chatter for a few moments, until the bat cracks it open. You breathe, realizing only now you had stopped. "Please," you whisper, "please." The men with the weapons pass damp towels, wiping themselves clean of putrid fluids and gore. Most of them refuse to meet your pleading eyes. Those that do see you do so with a look of pity. "Here," says the one with the rifle. He unzips the pack on his back and withdraws a bottle of water and a tin of potted meat, both of which he tosses to you. Too hungry to ignore it, you grab the tin and pop it open, ignoring the gel at the top of the can and devouring the meat beneath. The one with the rifle nods. "That's it. Eat up. Just like fishing. Right, boys?" "Live is best." He turns his back to you, and his friends join him. As they walk away, the tin of meat tumbles from your hands into the dirt, and you begin crawling after them, shouting, pleading, and finally cursing them. None of them spares you so much as a glance backward, and not even when you reach the end of your chain again and shout at the pinch about your ankle. Your dirt-caked fingers reach out for them, ending just at the lip of the circle in the ground. The living continue their walk away, vanishing into the shadows, while the bodies of the dead lie in your circle, not moving unless you again find the strength to heave them away. This is the worst part.
"Oh, this zombie has such teeth, dear, and he shows them dark and red. Just a zombie is old Bub now, and he won't keep out your head. You know when Bub bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows roll and they spread. Metal color, though, where's old Bub? But there's never, never a trace of red. Now when the old mine, ain't no mourning, roams those bodies just oozing death. Eek! And no one sneaking around the corner. Could that someone be old Bub? There's a copter up on the top, don't you know? But the place is just full of the undead. Oh, that copter is just our escape, dear. Get out quickly, 'cause Bubba's ahead. Now did you hear about Dr. Logan, he got killed by Major Rhodes, yeah, who was tired of his shit. And now that Bub, yeah, he's gonna hunt him. Could it be that Rhodes will finally get it? Now Dr. Sarah, oh yeah, William McDermott, oh, Swab John, and that's all she wrote. Oh, the copter is on the top side. That old bar chains have gone and broke. Oh, I said, Dr. Sarah, whoa, John and McDermott, look at Major Rhodes and Sergeant Steele. Yes, the copter is on the top side. Now that old Bob is gonna take the deal. Look out, old Bob's got him a gun. Look out, old Bob's got him a gun.
Dr. Fuss's Manic Minute Movie Mutilation. Dr. Fuss's Manic Minute Movie Mutilation. Dr. Fuss's Manic Minute Movie Mutilation. Here we go. We start right now, Bogey. No hesitation.
Dr. Fuss's Manic Minute Movie Mutilation. We'll be looking at a newer independent zombie movie release that I found really sappy. Literally. The Doctor is in. Okay, this one had just been released to DVD. And no, this isn't the Maximum Pimpage segment of Library of the Living Dead. It's the Manic Minute. And I sure as hell ain't a pimp in this movie. I found it totally sappy. Figuratively as well as literally. Oh, and the movie I'm talking about? Well, I found it on Comcast. Had to pay for it too. What a waste of $3.99. And when I saw the little blurb that it was a zombie movie, I got all excited and shit. And didn't even try to check up on it on the net or anything like that. Should have. I just had like a zombie seizure or something and hit buy on the screen, and I did. Buy it, that is, for 24 hours. And did I watch it once? Oh, yes, indeedy, I did. And did I watch it numerous times during the next 24 hours? Not on your life. Oh, yeah, the movie. It's called Severed, Forest of the Dead. And it so had a great premise. Now, aren't we all kind of burned out on that virus thingy causing zombies, or that dirty Venus probe causing zombies, or that secret government chemical causing zombies, or radiation causing zombies, or bacteria causing zombies? Well, you get the idea. Want to know what causes zombies in Severed? I'm going to tell you now. A forestry company has been genetically modifying trees to grow faster so they can cut them down faster so they can charge you even more money for that lumber you're going to build that new deck with. Well, at least they're doing that to me. But, and this was just such a cool as hell but, it seems the genetic engineering of the trees caused the sap of said trees to kill those who come in contact with it and bring them back as gut-munching undead. Now, doesn't that sound like an incredibly great premise for a new zombie movie? Why, yes, indeedy it does. But for the love of the spotted white owl, does this mother fall flat onto its face? Or forest floor, as the case may be. This is just one of those movies that, after the cool premise is explained, goes right back to the old cliches that are associated with poorly made zombie movies. Very poor acting, poor camera shots, poor acoustics, crappy gore, poor directing, no characters that you will give a damn about. It was just incredibly mundane. A great idea. A really shitty presentation.
The good doctor is sitting here wondering if director Carl Bisset was in the woods alone, had an aneurysm, and fell over dead.
Would he still make a sound? And the doctor is out!
Yeah. Ha! I gotcha! I bet you thought I had a screw-up like in 123. But no, it's not a screw-up. It's another letter from the dead. Another one because we didn't have one in the last episode, 124. But we're going to have two in 125. This is 125, mind you. And it's by Eric Lowther. And it's a humdinger. Let's begin. This letter from the dead is by Eric Lowther. If you're reading this, then you must have seen the first note pinned on my shirt. I hope it's still pinned on my shirt. It said, kill me and check my pockets. And it looks like you did. Was the bullseye still on my forehead? Anyway, I didn't have anything to kill myself with. I ran out of bullets a long time ago. By the time I realized the scratch I got on a supply run infected me, I was too weak to use anything else to do it. Thanks for doing this for me. I hope I wasn't too much trouble. And I hope the ropes I used to tie myself to the big desk kept me from getting close enough to you to hurt you. I was a teacher here. This was my room. I've seen a few of my kids out there, all dead and all moving around. A few of them deserve this, the little bastards, but most of them didn't. As a reward for taking me out, you can have all the stuff that I collected and hid, as long as nobody else has been through here and just left me here moaning and drooling all over myself like an idiot. There's a few knives and some tins of tuna in the desk where you found me. There's a 9mm Glock taped under my chair. No bullets, but if you're still alive long enough to find me, you maybe have some bullets for it. Across the hall in the music room, check the baritone cases in the instrument closet. There's some potted meat, veggies, and I think I left a crowbar in there. I tried to leave some kind of tool or something to use as a weapon in most every room on this floor, in case I ever got overrun and had to move from here. I didn't hide that stuff real well. Didn't want to be too sneaky and forget where I hid them if I ever needed them. Some machetes, crowbars, a couple of entrenching tools I got from what was left at the surplus store. That kind of stuff. The good stuff is down the hall in the janitor's closet. I hollowed out the wall behind the shelves in there, so you can't see it unless you move the rack. I've got a bunch of gallons of clean water and probably 3 dozen or so cans of fruits and veggies. There's a compound bow and a quiver in there, too. Probably a couple of knives and some hand tools. I can't remember exactly now. My fever's getting out of control. Getting harder to think and write. I'm going to stop now and put this letter in my pocket. Make sure to check every room on this floor. Don't forget the janitor's closet. And thanks for ending it for me. I hope you're doing better than me. And I hope you're not trying to survive this alone. If you are, get somebody. Living alone may seem like it's better and safer, but now when you die alone, you have to depend on the kindness of strangers to give you mercy. Thank you. John B. Books.
Got me the strangest woman. Believe it, this chick's undead. When I wanna get me some of that, I whip out my big 10-inch machete and I smack her in the head. And I know that she's undead. When I wanna get me some of that love, doesn't matter if she got a head. Last night when she was bitten, I gave my love a little pinch. But she turned to a zombie, and I had to get my big 10-inch machete, and I smacked her in the head. And I know that she's undead. When I wanna get me some of that, doesn't matter if she got a head. I'll cover her in plastic, duct tape will give her a cinch. She gets all excited when I whip out my big 10-inch machete and smack her in the head. And I know that she's undead. When I wanna get me some of that love, doesn't matter if she got a head. And her heart don't give a flinch. Seems she's dead and all along it was because of my big 10-inch machete, and I smacked her in the head. And I know that she's undead. When I wanna give me some of that love, doesn't matter if she got a head.
Undead in Las Vegas by Stephen A. North. Some moments are better than others. Probably sums up a Vegas vacation as well as any. Hiding outside behind a beat-up Chevy Citation in the furnace heat of the Excalibur Casino's parking lot doesn't fall into the better moment category. I feel feverish and thirsty as I kneel beside the car and try to catch my breath. No time to rest, though. The dead are everywhere. I have to find someplace to hide. My skin is dry and no longer sweating as I run the last few steps across the soft asphalt. Squint as dying light reflects off the mirrored panels of the Luxor Pyramid. The doors to the casino are busted open and shattered. Pretty dark in there, but hesitating will get me killed. Glass crunches beneath my loafers as I hurry inside. I hold the gun in both hands, aiming everywhere I look, like they do in the movies. There are 3 bullets left in the cop's gun. I took it off a corpse on the exit ramp from the interstate. She didn't need it anymore. I did. The power is off, or someone turned off all the lights and machines. Quiet as a tomb inside, and smelling like death. The dim outline of a service counter is to my left. In front of the counter, there's the body of a scantily clad woman on the floor. She's face down, wearing a red mini dress and thigh-high boots. Blood cakes the back of her head in her long, blowing hair. I step closer, pull out my cell phone, and turn on the flashlight. Inadvertently kick a plastic cup, gambling chips, and the cup skitter across the floor. I freeze in place. The woman's head moves. Stirred into action by the noise? Hunger? She lifts her left arm, then her right, braces herself and pushes up off the floor. I follow her with the light, see blood on the counter behind her, splashes of red daubed on the carpet. Are you okay? The words are out of my mouth before I can stop them. If she isn't okay, I have 3 chances, 3 bullets to rectify that. Wish there were more. It took me 5 to put down a wiry kid who chased me, and 9 more on a psycho running around with an axe, hacking anything that moved. Wish I grabbed that axe now. The woman turns towards me, sways on her feet, tottering on spiked heels. My finger is tense on the trigger. She looked good up until she turned. A normal person would have blinked from my light, but her eyes are cloudy swirls of red and white. Her mouth, oh Jesus, her mouth. A twisted snarl of swollen pink gums and blackened kernels that might be teeth. I pull the trigger, fire once more as she charges across the short stretch of floor. Feel her crash into me, staggering backwards, screaming. Feel her hair beneath my chin. Feel that mouth, the dried out chapped lips closing over my throat, the pinch of her teeth tearing my flesh, part of me torn away like an orange peel, and gone forever as I press the barrel between her eyes and fire the last bullet. Fucking bitch bit me. Her body slumps to the floor. You'll be okay now, I tell her through gritted teeth. I stagger forward, dropping the gun. Press my right hand against the wound on my neck as I lean against the service counter. Point the cell phone's light at the counter. There's a monthly day planner, a stack of credit receipts, a cup full of pens, and a yellow notepad. Not sure how long I have before turning into one of those things. I should be dead, right? Does it happen right away? Probably won't be long until I'm just another mindless, shambling, dumb fuck looking for my next meal. But maybe I got the 1 in a million bite. I'm not a zombie yet. Maybe I'll live through this. I pick up a pen, pull the pad towards me, and begin to write. My name's Wallace Gordon. I may not live long enough to finish this, but here's my story. I was driving my rig on Interstate 15. And that's it, good librarians, for episode number 125 of Library of the Living Dead. I want to remind you in these out comments that we have a forum at goodlibrarians.freeforums.org. Please join up. We need some more posters. We're having a ball on there right now, but we would like you to join. My email is lotld@outlook.com. I need letters from the dead, long and short zombie stories, songs, promos, anything you want to send to me. I'll put it on the podcast. Now, here's a plea. I would really like one of you good librarian authors to send me a zombie book to be read in chapters on the podcast. That was always a great time on the older podcast. And I'll do it upright, I promise. So, as the sun sets and the zombies groan, what are we going to do? Let's all do it in unison. We're going to go out with a song.
I've got your liver. And yes, we do. You scream, I killed you. And I'll eat you. I sit there eating, and there's nothing else that I can do. Oh, it's a color. Your hair blood soaked. Your eyes are clouded. And wet now. I often bite you when there's no one else around. I've got your two breasts. I'd like a million of them all for me to eat. I ask a doctor to take a picture. Eviscerated you from inside as well. You've got me turning up and turning down and turning in and turning round. I'm turning zombified. I think I'm turning zombified. I really think so. Turning zombified. I think I'm turning zombified. I really think so. I'm turning zombified. I think I'm turning zombified. I really think so. Turning zombie fight, I think I'm turning zombie fight, I really think so. I've got your thigh bone, I've got your thigh bone. I'd like a million of them all around myself. I want the doctor to take a picture so I can look at you from inside as well. You've got me turning up and turning down and turning in and turning up. I'm turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so.
No sex, no lunch, me no wine, no eating, no fun, something no new, no wonder it's in the dark. Everyone around me is a total wally. Everyone avoids me like a shambling undead. Everyone.
That's why I'm turning zombified, I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified, I really think so. Turning zombified, I think I'm turning zombified.
zombie, but I really think so.
Think so, think so.
Turning zombie, but I think I'm turning zombie, but I really think so.